Hope is the currency that we have to spend as Christians. We can spend it on others. We may not have the silver and gold. We may not have the right words to say. We may not have the thing that somebody else needs. But we do have hope. And we can use that like currency. I want to tell you about a laboratory experiment where they put some rats in a vat of water. And they wanted to see how long the rats could last. And these rats swam, but they kind of gave up after about an hour. They were all gone. Now that was the one group of rats. But the other group of rats kept going for 24 hours. 1 hour, 24 hours. And the difference was that periodically the second group of rats was lifted out of the water for just a few seconds and then placed back in the water. It was the hope that they wouldn't have to tread water very much longer that kept those rats going for 24 hours while the control group of rats gave up in an hour. You see what power hope has? Now Peter uses the miracle of the man's healing as an occasion to speak the truth about Christ. He's not saying everybody come and we'll heal you all. He's saying that Christ has died for your sins and risen from the dead. Because that's where the real hope lies, in having our sins forgiven. He talks about God's incredible love for people, for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and for them. He talks about the mistake that they made, the horrible terror of sin, how that was displayed when Jesus was nailed to the cross. Jesus dove down and pulled the plug on sin, though, and rose from the dead and took away our sin and our death by becoming our sin, by dying and rising. And Peter talks about all that. That's the gospel. And that faith produced that healing. It produces fruit. Hope. It's an acronym. Hang on, pain ends. Hang on, pain ends. H-O-P-E. It's the same thing that a guy by the name of Eugene Land gave out to a bunch of sixth graders when he spoke to them in an inner city school, a bunch of sixth graders, grade six. He told them, and they didn't usually graduate, most of those kids. But he said, I want to encourage you, you can do this. And when you get to the point of graduation, I'll help you go to college. I've got some money, I'll help you go to college. Well, that grade six class, 90% of them graduated. A lot of them did go to college, and he did help them. But the main thing they thought was, we've got some hope now. We've got somebody pulling for us, somebody on our side. There's another woman who lives in Toronto. When she gets called by telemarketers, starts a conversation with them about Easter and about hope. And telemarketers, you know, get a lot of, what do you suppose most people say to them? You know, drop dead, get lost, hang up on them. They get treated really poorly. But this lady decided that was her ministry, was to talk to those people and encourage them in the Lord Jesus about heaven and about eternal life. And so she gets in those conversations. There's another guy, I think it's in the States, who opened Miracle Village. And Miracle Village is a part of a larger ministry where he invites sex offenders to come and live in that area. Sex offenders have very little hope because nobody wants them in their neighborhood. They're not even allowed by law in some places to live close to a school or a public facility. But about half of the people at Miracle Village are sex offenders that are on parole or getting back into society. Or we could talk about the Smith family, the way they tried to energize people to help save the John McGivney Center over on the west side. It's a place for special needs kids of a young age, and it's probably going to close. Giving people hope that that place could stay open. People with special needs kids need a lot of hope. I went to the school this week and gave some grades 6 and 7 and 8 some hope by talking to them about their special created selves and how they can do a lot to change the face of their school by making good choices and by affirming other people. And I went to encourage a family that lost a loved one with a funeral on Friday night. You know, these things are the currency of hope. They're what we have to spend, and we really have deep pockets. That is, with faith in the resurrection. But we are often running around with pockets empty of hope. A lot of times our hearts are focused upon the things that can be changed in this world. And we think about that we're low on funds. Or we think about how busy we are. Or we think about how we just really don't know what to do and lay the problem aside or promise we'll get to it later, but it's still there. And we give up. We're like that first group of rats that didn't think there was any hope and gave up too soon. But you know, we are an Easter people. And Alleluia is our song. So don't kill hope. Take care of it. Tell people that they're special because God made them that way. Thank them. Bless them in some way. Pass out that currency of hope. Pray for them and tell them that you prayed for them. Barbara Brown Taylor writes a quote in Philip Yancey's book, Vanishing Grace. And it's a little bit of an indictment to the church. She says, one thing that had always troubled me was the way people disappeared from church when their lives were breaking down. Separation and divorce were the most common explanations for long absences. But so were depression, alcoholism, job loss, mortal illness. One new widow told me she could not come to church because she started crying the moment she sat down in a pew. A young man freshly diagnosed with AIDS said that he stayed away because he was too frightened to answer questions and too angry to sing hymns. I understood their reasoning. But I was sorry that church did not strike these wounded souls as a place they could bring the dark fruits of their equally dark nights. How will it be among us as Christians? Will we run around with empty pockets, empty of hope? Or will we fill them with the hope that Christ Jesus gives in his death and resurrection? Let me tell you again, even though we put him on the cross, even though our sins were why he died, he did not stay dead. He is alive. And he's helping people climb out of all kinds of prisons and holes and troubles and problems. Anyone who has seen grace and how amazing it is can be quite full of hope. A long time ago, a Roman citizen wrote to his friend Diodotus And Philip Yancey quotes this as well. And he talks about the Christians, how they were, how they acted, what kind of impact they had. He said, they marry like everyone else. Of course, this was in Latin. It's translated, right? They marry like everyone else, and they have children, but they do not destroy their offspring. They share a common table, but not a common bed. They exist in the flesh, but they do not live by the flesh. They pass their days on earth, but they are citizens of heaven. They obey the prescribed laws, all the while surpassing the laws by their lives. They love all men and are persecuted by all. They are unknown and condemned. They are put to death and restored to life. They are poor, yet make many rich. They lack everything, yet they overflow in everything. They are assailed by the Jews as barbarians. They are persecuted by the Greeks, yet those who hate them are unable to give any reason for their hatred. And Philip Yancey comments, Christians are amphibious creatures, in the world, not of the world, in Jesus' words. And in a modern society that runs by competition, self-indulgence, and power, we should stand out by following a notably different script. Living with hope stands out. People end up finding, by our contributing hope into their lives, the true hope that Peter declares in our text. And they are refreshed, and that's what Peter tells us to pray for, that we be refreshed by the hope that is in Christ Jesus. Now, we need that hope in our hope banks just as much as anybody else, because they do get empty sometimes. But it's funny how when we fill them up and are passing out hope to everybody around us, a lot of hope spills on the one passing it out too. We need to see how often God is good all the time, is the way he really is good. Now next week we're going to have the quilts out here. All the women have been working and the sewing group have been working. We're going to display the quilts, and that should give some hope, because those quilts are going to go and help people in a bad situation. The week after that we're going to get some hope out of our confirmation class, because they'll be here. They're a small class, but they're going to give us hope that there's a future for the Christian faith in those young people. And the next week we're going to have mothers and grandmothers and celebrate them and how they give us hope in our daily lives by what they do and how they work for their families. Hope springs eternal. And our pockets are full of it when we believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins that that brings. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.